Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We have a real honour and privilege of having Jane Hammond with us this morning. And Jane and her husband Tom, they lead a church in Florida, in the northwest part of that part of the world, beautiful beaches and all of that kind of area. But lead a great church there, but also. They have a very strong prophetic anointing on their lives, and we want to receive Jane this morning, not just as a leader of a church in another part of the world, but we want to receive her as a prophet this morning, because that's the mantle that is upon her life, as well as leading and pastoring a church which helps to earth the prophetic in a very real way. We want to receive her as a prophet this morning in that office and with that anointing, because how we receive a person and how we honor them will determine how we respond and receive from what God wants to do through that person. And so we want to receive from the office of a prophet this morning, not just think, well, here's somebody else from somewhere else is going to bring a word that will hopefully encourage. God wants to speak right into the depth of the life of who we are. And when God speaks prophetically, he breaks something open in a fresh way. So it's great to have you with us, Jane. And I know the women's conference has been awesome. And it's gone to another level because of you being here and what you carry as well. So let's really welcome Jane and really honour her as she comes to bring the word this morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Let's give a shout to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to your neighbor and give them a high five and tell them we've got victory today in Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. Thank you, Pastor Clive, Pastor Jane, for having me here with you today. It is a real honor for me to be here with you at Kingdom Faith. My husband and I were here a couple of years ago, and we just really, really were impacted by the work of the kingdom that you're doing here. And ladies, we had a great time, didn't we, over the last couple of days? Amen? We saw miracles. We saw God do miracles. We saw God set people free. We saw people receive words of the Lord. And I'm not just talking about what happened from the pulpit. I'm talking about that ladies were activated to minister the voice of the Lord and to release miracles to one another. Amen. Isn't that exciting? That's what excites me. I think we should give the Lord one more hand for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to open up your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 37. And I am preaching from my new iPad 2. Ooh, this is a new experience for me over the last couple of days. So we hope it goes well because I'm still learning to navigate this. I am not techno girl. So I really don't really know what I'm doing. So we're going to hope that all the wonderful revelation that I've put in here, I'll be able to get out. Okay, but we're gonna read in Genesis 37 in just a moment. But let me just say that I really do believe that I do have a word for your church, for the vision that God has set you on, the course that God has set you on. But let me kind of give you a little bit of background about what I feel like the Lord is saying to the church as a whole on a global level, and then I'm gonna bring it down to what I believe God is saying here locally. At the beginning of the year, I really began to seek the Lord and take time out just to ask God the season that we're in. I believe it's very important as prophetic people for us to have that Sons of Issachar anointing on our lives, not just the leaders, but I believe every single believer needs to walk in an Issachar anointing. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, it says of the sons of Issachar that they were valiant men. So how many valiant men do we have here today? All right, ladies, we know this doesn't leave us out because I taught you on Friday that the exact same word that is translated valiant man or mighty man of valor is the exact same word that we find in Proverbs chapter 31 when it talks about the virtuous woman. It's just that the translators couldn't bring themselves to write, "Who can find a valiant woman?" But how many valiant men and valiant women do we have in the house today? Amen. You know what? Have you ever read Proverbs 31? That chick had to be valiant. Man, she like planted fields and she sowed and she cooked. And I was always guilty. I never liked to read it because it would talk about how she'd get up before the sun to prepare food for her household. One day I thought, I do better than that. The night before I go, "Guys, there's the cereal. There's the bowls. When you get up, have at it, okay?" Cooking has never been my strong suit. I'd rather prophesy to the food than cook it. And my family would rather me prophesy to the food than cook it. I like to say that I honor my husband as the priest of our home. I'm continuously offering up burnt sacrifices to him. I think that there's a scripture about abiding in your calling, okay? So I know what I'm called to, all right? But you know, the sons of Issachar, it goes on to say probably the more famous passage about the sons of Issachar is in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, where it says they had an understanding of the times and they knew what to do. And I believe that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has given us access to a realm of revelation that we are able to then take all the things that we hear are happening in our nation, all the things that we are hearing are happening globally, and we're able to take those things, not be overwhelmed by those things, because how many believe that whether it's a tsunami in Japan or an earthquake in Spain or economic shaking all over the world, how many believe God is still on the throne? Amen. How many believe that not one bit of that took God by surprise? Amen. And we have to look at our King and say, "God, give us your perspective about what's happening in the earth. And then also let us know what it is we are supposed to do in order to respond to what is happening." Having an understanding of the times isn't enough. We've got to know then how to position ourselves, how to begin to draw on heavenly strategies so that we know how to position ourselves for maximum kingdom influence in the times of shaking. Amen? Now listen, about 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a conference and I heard a prophetic word. And I had to believe it because I was the one that prophesied it. How many think it's a good idea if a prophet actually believes what she prophesies? And out of my mouth came these words. The Lord said, "Quit complaining about the shaking, because the shaking is an answer to your prayers." Now listen, how many of us have been praying for our nations? How many believe that our nations could not just continue to go on down the course that they were on and fulfill God's purposes? In God's divine plan, he says things like, "I will shake everything that can be shaken so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. But thank God we serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Amen. In the midst of all this shaking, God is bringing nations back to him. Amen. God is bringing your nation. God is bringing our nation. I believe God's bringing the nation of Japan. God is going to use that which the enemy meant for evil. He is going to turn it for his good. I believe that the earthquake in Spain this week, with devastation that went on, I believe God is going to use that for good to bring a people back to him. Amen. And so at the beginning of this year, I was listening to the Lord because, to be very honest, we have been through a tremendous time of shaking. I was sharing with Pastor Clive yesterday that in 2007, our church was pretty much our church was in the area, the geographical area, that was pretty much the epicenter of the real estate collapse in our nation. And we had just enjoyed a number of years, almost a full decade of tremendous, phenomenal prosperity. And overnight, it was like the carpet got pulled out from under our feet and businesses began to be shaken in major ways. And in our area, the industries are tourism and real estate. And it was a rapidly developing area. And within 12 months' time, the real estate market came to a crashing halt. My son-in-law was a roofer, and in 2006, he had a booming business. He personally put 52 new roofs on new homes just from his business alone. In 2007, he did 3. That's just to tell you how it kind of came screeching to a halt. Our church finances, because 70% of our people were involved in that industry, our church finances actually took a 65% decrease in 1 year. Just as a reflection of what was happening. Now, at the beginning of that year, in 2007, being a prophet, the Lord gave me a message, and he spoke to me out of the story of Gideon, and he said, I'm going to take you through a Gideon season. Now, you ought to really start knowing how to read between the lines when you're a prophet. Gideon season was a season of battle, and it was a season when God took them from being a 10,000-member army down to a 300-member army. And it seemed like about halfway through the year, all hell broke loose. Can I say hell in your church? Okay. All hell broke loose in our church. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And my husband, and at one point in my message, I had said that it would be a year of shifting, but that there would be a sifting in the shifting. Isn't that the story of Gideon? And so about halfway through the year, I said to my husband and I said to the Lord, what is going on? And my husband said, well, honey, you prophesied this. I said, I did not. He said, yes, go back and read your prophetic word. You said a sifting in the shifting. And he said, and I said, well, why did you let me prophesy that? But how many know when you're in the season of God, God had actually prepared us for the season of sifting. And we went through this shifting, this sifting. Our congregation decreased by almost a half because people had to move to other places to get jobs and everything. And we went through this tremendous time of sifting. And about towards the end of 2008, we were sitting in a conference with Prophet Chuck Pierce. How many of you know Prophet Chuck Pierce? He's an awesome prophet of God. I don't understand half of what he says, to be really honest. But then I asked him about it, and he said, that's okay. Half the time, I don't know what I'm saying. So, but he was getting ready to get up and preach, and he leans over, and he gives us a prophetic word. He says, you know, I was praying for you guys today. And he says, the Lord gave me a word for you. And I'm like, yes. Thank you, Lord, for a word. And he leans over, and he says, the Lord shows me that you're getting ready to go through 10 months of sifting. And then he got up to preach. And I was like, no, wait, come back. Come back. What you meant to say, right? What you meant to say was we've just been through 10, right? That's what you meant to say. You've been through 10 months of sifting. And he says, no, you're getting ready. And I said, Chuck, who asked you? Did I ask you for a word? Can't you say anything nice? My mother taught me if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. But the prophetic word positioned us to go through that time. But what he said, after those 10 months, then you will come into a gathering and building season. And I want you to know that's the season that we're in right now. We are in a gathering building season. And I believe that this house really has kind of gone through a similar little process. You've gone through a little bit of a sifting for different reasons, but the Lord says you are in a gathering season. You are in a building season. And at the beginning of this year, as I was hearing what God was saying for this year, I heard God say that this is a year that if you will extend your faith again in a brand new way, that you will come into a season where you will see your greatest expectations fulfilled. And you will see your most phenomenal dreams realized. How many dreamers are here today? Amen. Are you dreaming big dreams? I heard God say, how can God possibly help you to succeed beyond your wildest dreams until you first start having wild dreams? And I'm here to ask you today and to give you permission to dream bigger dreams. I said to the ladies this weekend, I said that I firmly believe that we are shifting seasons in battle right now. And we are shifting out of battling to survive into a season of battling to possess. Amen. There is a different joy in the battle that comes when you know that you're not just battling to stay alive. You're not just battling to stay alive, to survive, but you're literally battling to possess the gates of your enemy and to start taking back the things that the enemy has tried to take from you. Taking back our cities, taking back generations, taking back nations in this season of time. And as I asked the Lord, you know, how are we to position ourselves? I just began to pore over Hebrews chapter 11 because the word expectation or the word dream to me speaks of what are we putting our faith out for? What are we believing God for? So I started reading Hebrews chapter 11, which to me is the chapter that speaks of the heroes of faith, the champions of faith. And let me tell you, in this church, God is raising up phenomenal champions of faith. I mean, incredible champions that know how to go out there and cause the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And as I read through Hebrews chapter 11, I only read it about five times before I realized that I was reading Hebrews chapter 11 in regards to the year 2011. I'm a prophet, but I'm a little slow, okay? And I started realizing that God was really building in an issue of building faith. And one of the characters in this hall of fame for faith that just leapt out at me was the story of Joseph, how Joseph was a man of faith. And I felt like the Lord said that this would be a year where God is going to begin to release the Joseph anointing to the body of Christ and to certain churches in particular. And I have not ministered, I've ministered this message, but I've never ministered this aspect of this message until I came here. Because I really believe that one of the things that's associated with Joseph is the fact that he released a storehouse ministry that saved a nation. And I believe that this house is called to be a storehouse ministry that is called to save nations. And I believe that God is going to bring some things out of this house that are going to be spiritual resources, but beyond just spiritual resources, there are going to be natural resources and natural strategies that God is going to give you to save nations and generations. Amen. And God is positioning in you in this season to receive of that mantle of Joseph. Joseph's name means increase. And you have come in to a season of phenomenal increase. Now, when I speak that over this house, I want you to understand I am speaking this word to this house, but that means that if your house is in this house, this word is for your house as well. So I'm speaking this word to this house and to your house. Say, to my house. Amen. So each of your houses can begin to receive and experience the increase that comes from a new season in the favor of God. Amen. So I want to look at several aspects of this Joseph mantle, and then I'm going to pray for you. And I've got a prophetic word for your leaders that I believe God wants to release. One thing that I want to say is that the number 11, by the way, I only preached the story of Joseph for about 3 weeks when, again, it dawned on me. Joseph was the 11th son. Like I said, a little slow, okay? A prophet nonetheless, but a little slow. And this is the year of the 11th son anointing. That's falling on the church, amen? Now, the number 11, actually, when you kind of look at it scripturally, it doesn't really have a whole lot of connotation, but it's kind of a transition number. It's a number that sometimes can indicate chaos, but that's not really what I felt like God was saying about this year. What the Lord kind of really put in my heart is that the number 10 in Scripture is very clear that it signifies judgment on our enemies. And the number 12 is very clear that it signifies God's justice or God's government. And standing between judgment and justice is God's mercy. And I believe that this is a year of mercy. A year of divine mercy and a year of divine favor upon the people of God. You know what that means? That means even if you didn't do it right in the last season, God's mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? It's a year where God gets us right back on course so that we can accomplish God's kingdom purposes. Amen? James actually says mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. How many of you have some situations that you need to see mercy triumph over judgment? Amen. Just grab a hold of it and pull it out of the heavens. Amen. Now, I'm going to talk about several dimensions of this Joseph anointing. The first thing I want to do is I want to read out of Genesis chapter 37 and kind of set the stage. Genesis 37 and verse 3. It says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him all the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And if you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph was a dreamer. And one night he dreamed actually two dreams. And in the first dream, he saw his father's and his brother's sheaves of grain all bowing down to his sheaf of grain. And in the second dream, he saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars all bowing down to him. He had these dreams because Joseph had a mantle of revelation. And I believe that this house is heavy with a mantle of revelation. I want you to get ready for a whole new season of God speaking to you individually in dreams, in visions, and in prophecy. Amen. You're going to be out driving your car, taking your kids to school, going to your workplace, praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden a prophetic word is just going to bubble up inside of you. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night with dreams and strategies and insight that God is going to give you regarding taking the next step of impact in this community. God is going to begin to open up things to you that haven't even at this point entered into your mind, because it's going to enter into your spirit first. God's going to show you new ways to pray. He's going to show you new places to position yourself. You see, this thing about revelation is to help us to understand how much God loves us, but it's so much more than that. God wants to give us keys of access in this day. The key of David, the keys of the kingdom, the keys of revelation, so that we can open up the things that have been locked up in this last season. Now, let me tell you, Joseph's dreams were phenomenal. They really were about the destiny, the purpose, and the greatness that God had called him to. And Joseph was so excited about these dreams, he rushed out into the fields to share the dreams with his brothers. And his brothers were so blessed. No. They were so encouraged when he shared the dreams that they took him and they threw him into a pit. Now, here at our ministry, we like to say that the pit, P-I-T, stands for prophet in training. I mean, no, it's not always wisdom to share everything with everybody. But they threw him into a pit and sold him into Egyptian slavery. Then he was bought by Potiphar's house and was a slave in Potiphar's house. But the favor of God was on him, and he rose up through the ranks and pretty soon oversaw everything that was in Potiphar's house. How many understand that when a mantle of leadership's on your life, it doesn't matter what man can do to you? Amen. Amen? Then he got falsely accused, thrown in the prison. But even in the prison, he rose to a position of authority and prominence in the prison. He interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker, and then ultimately interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh. That's kind of the overview of the story of Joseph. And in one day's time, everybody say suddenly, because I believe that we have entered in to a suddenly season. Amen. Amen? A suddenly season where suddenly things that God has spoken years ago, things that God has spoken generations ago, suddenly begin to come to pass. Suddenly in Joseph's life, he went from the pit of the prison to becoming prime minister over the entire empire of Egypt, the second-hand man to the Pharaoh, the second most influential man in the entire world at that point, because the hand of God was upon him. And it all started with a dream. Get a hold of what God is speaking to you. Get a hold of the visions that God is releasing to you in this season of time. A few months ago, I really felt like the Lord said that he was taking his people out of a holding pattern, and he was breaking off the spirit of delay. If God is saying it's a suddenly season, he is breaking the spirit of delay. And Revelations actually makes a decree and says, delay shall be no more. Now, I don't know how many of you fly, but I fly every week. I'm going someplace, okay? I think last year I was in 17 countries and 30 U.S. cities last year. And I understand when God says holding pattern. Because when you're in an airplane and you can't land because of whatever reason in an airport, they put you in a holding pattern and you circle. And you circle and you circle and you circle. And it's very frustrating because you've got places to go. You've got appointments to keep. You've got assignments to accomplish, and yet you're stuck in a holding pattern. And what you're praying is that God will help you land this thing so that you can get on and move into your next step. And I felt like the Lord said, tell my people that I am breaking the spirit of delay and I am breaking them out of a holding pattern because it is a season for advancement. It is a season for moving in to God's divine appointments in this next season of time. About 2 days later, I had a dream that I was circling around in a parking lot, circling, looking for a parking place. And in my dream, I could see that they're right up front at the mall. Hallelujah. Was the perfect spot right up front. And everybody else was just driving past it. And in my dream, I thought, I'm going to go after that parking place. So I got in the line of traffic and I circled. Until I finally came to that place that I could come into that just thinking, I hope somebody else doesn't get it before I get there. And in my dream, I pulled my car into that parking place. And as my car pulled into this parking place, I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. And he said, I have reserved this place just for you. And nobody else can take it unless you choose not to. Do you hear the word of the Lord to you today? God has reserved places just for you. They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to you. And the only reason you won't be able to step into that is if you choose not to. So we may need to make a decision. Are we going to advance when God breaks us out of the holding pattern? If you feel personally like you have been under a spirit of delay, or you personally have been in a holding pattern, I want you to stand to your feet and I want to pray for you. Contracts are delayed, position openings are delayed, promotions are delayed, opportunities are delayed, whatever it is. I felt like the Lord said as well that he would reveal himself this year as he who opens. The God that opens. And of course, I found this in Revelations chapter 3 where God said, I've given you the key of David. So just reach out and take the key of David from the Lord this morning. We received the key of David because God said, I will reveal myself as he who opens and no man can shut. And he that shuts and no man can open. And I believe that even over this next week, God is going to speak to you to show you how you are to use that key to bring heavenly kingdom access, to open up those things that have been locked, and for some of you to lock up some things that have been opened. Now lift up your hands. Father, I decree right now that as you have put the key of David in their hands. Today, Lord, we decree that the spirit of delay is broken, the holding pattern is released, and Father, we decree your word which says, delay shall be no more. In Jesus' name, give a shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I want everybody to say, I'm going to receive this fresh mantle of revelation. The second thing I want to mention, which really goes along with what I just said, is that God is releasing a mantle of favor upon us as well. This house just oozes favor. You just have to walk through the front doors and you can feel the mantle of favor that God has put on this house and upon your leaders. There is such incredible divine favor upon this house. Now, favor opens up doors. Favor opens up hearts. It says that the children of Israel were in Egyptian captivity for over 400 years, but they found favor with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh let them go. All the way through Scripture, you can find issues of favor. In Psalms 102:13, There is a declaration that is made that I believe God is declaring over this house, where it says this. It says, you, speaking of the Lord, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. You will arise and have mercy on Kingdom Faith. For the time to favor her, the set time has come. Now listen, you think you've been walking in favor? You ain't seen nothing yet. I am telling you, you know what favor does? Favor is literally like a magnet. It brings a divine attractiveness. You've been crying out for harvest. People are going to get up on a Sunday morning with no intention of coming to church because that's not in their paradigm. But all of a sudden, they're going to find themselves brushing their teeth and putting on some nice clothes and saying, you know what? I think I'll go to that church that I drive by all the time. Government officials are going to start walking through your doors. Heads of businesses are going to start coming in, and they're going to be drawn. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to necessarily have a frame of reference for it. They're just going to say, something inside of me said I needed to come. It's going to be a time of effortless harvest. Now, the word favor actually produces the word favorite. Right? It's the root word of the word favorite. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm God's favorite. Now turn to the other neighbor and say, no, 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 I'm God's favorite. Y'all don't fight, okay? Don't fight. Like, don't break out in fights over this, all right? See, I feel sorry for all the rest of you because really, I'm God's favorite. Over the ladies, over this last couple of days, we've been talking about being royalty. And you know what? When you get a mentality, do you think that the royalty, the monarchy, do you think that they have to hope that something's going to happen for them? No, no, no. Their position pretty well guarantees that favor is going to be theirs. And when we get a revelation that we are a greater breed of royalty than even the natural monarchy of your land, that we are royalty because we are the king's children in the land, we start living in a different mentality that begins to believe that things will happen for us that won't happen for others. I'm not talking about pride. I am talking about really understanding favor. And when we have an understanding of who we are, we will start expecting God's favor to break out and to break open things for us. Amen? Now, last year, we actually really saw a demonstration of this favor as we came to your country. But I just want to read you a scripture first out of Genesis 39. Flip over in your Bibles. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him into the hands of the bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down. And the Lord was with Joseph. He's a slave. Just keep that in perspective. Currently, his position is slave. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous. King James says prosperous. New King James says he was a successful man. He was a slave, positionally. But because God's favor was on him, God called him prosperous and successful. I don't care what your circumstance is, what your natural circumstance is. I don't care if you work for the most wicked boss on the face of the earth. I don't care what the economy has done to you. You are not a slave to the economy. You are not a slave to Egypt. You can be in Egypt and still be a prosperous, successful person because you are a child of the king. Amen? He was a prosperous, successful man in the house of his master, and the master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer of all his house that he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer of the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You know what? Your workplace can be doubly blessed because you work there. You can actually turn the economy of your boss's work around because you work there. As a matter of fact, I believe we're mandated to carry the kingdom in that way. And to believe that God's going to open doors in this next season. Last year, we brought a team. This year, we've actually got a team of six that are with us in the UK. We've been coming for about 10 years, and we bring teams in to pray, to prophesy, to partner with you in seeing your nation turn, because we're believing for our nation to turn. And our nations are linked in the spirit. Y'all know that, right? Our governments say we have a special relationship. Okay? So you're special. Amen? But I had this team, and we were heading out. We had to jump on the Gatwick Express and get off to the airport. And I had traveled all those miles, I think 180,000 miles. And you would think that I would know how to read a flight schedule. But I got us to the airport 2 hours after our flight had left. My job, my responsibility. We arrived there 2 hours after the flight had left. And so I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, let me go get a schedule to get on the next flight. So I went up to the ticket counter, and the lady had a look of horror on her face. And she said, why did you miss your flight? And I said, well, I read the flight schedule wrong. And I was feeling really bad because I had a team with me, people with me that needed to get home. And she said, this is bad. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, we're in the middle of a British Airways strike. And I can't confirm you on a flight home for 2 more weeks. And I stood there and I thought, that's not acceptable. What can we do? And she said, well, the best thing I can suggest is for you to go over to Heathrow because they have 5 flights a day. You can split up your group, and maybe over the next 2 weeks we can get one of you home here and there until we get all of you home. And I, you know, fear gripped my heart. My team, thank God, was more full of faith. They started praying. And because it was my fault. And I needed mercy. My team was very merciful, okay? My husband kind of gave me a look, but okay. But we jumped on the bus and we went to Heathrow praying the whole way. And about halfway between Gatwick and Heathrow, all of a sudden it hit my mind. You know what? I am God's favorite. Things will happen for me that won't happen for others because I am God's favorite. And so we got to the airport and we started checking in, and the man takes our thing and he says, so you come from Gatwick. You missed your flight. Why did you miss your flight? And I was like, I'm sorry. And I said, well, how does this flight look? And he says, well, this flight is oversold by 30 seats. Okay, that means that they've sold 30 seats more than they actually have seats to put bodies in. And your group is 11th on the group of people to take whatever seats might become available. It doesn't look good. So we went ahead and we checked in. He says, do you still want to check in? And I said, yes. So we checked in. We went to the other side of security. Now, not only am I God's favorite, when you fly 180,000 miles a year, I am also one of Delta's favorites. And so we weren't on the other side of security very long before my name is called on the intercom and they say, would you, you know, come to the desk? And so I came to the desk, and I have the high-ranking status with Delta, and so does my husband and my daughter. They have good rank as well. So they said, listen, we've got 3 seats for you, your husband, and your daughter to go ahead and fly home today, but we'll have to just worry about the others. And I said, thank you very much for that. I said, but you know what? Could I give those seats to the other 3 people and let them go ahead and go, and my husband and my daughter will make our way home? And they said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that. And I said, well, you have to understand, we missed the flight and it was my fault. And these people have never traveled internationally before. And so I'd really like to help them. And they're like, well, I'm sorry, we really can't do anything to help you. And I said, well, no, wait, but they did not know UK was an island. And she goes, oh, okay, let me see what I can do. You know what? We Americans, we are so geographically challenged. I understand. I confess it. And so anyway, we just prayed. We said, God, give us your favor. And about 10 minutes later, the lady calls my name. Actually, she didn't call my name over the intercom. She just said, Miss Hammond. And she slides across the desk, 6 boarding passes. And she looks around and she says, don't tell anybody I did this. So, of course, now I tell everybody that she did this, okay? And she said, actually, we've put you, your husband, and your daughter in first class. And I've got seats for the other 6. And I looked over and I saw that they were literally paying people to get off the flight, to put us on the flight. Because I'm God's favorite. I'm not talking about getting an attitude of pride. I'm talking about raising your level of expectation of what God can do for you. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Now, I use that analogy to say we all got home on the very next available flight because we extended our faith and we extended our favor. Does that help you in understanding what is being made available to us in the kingdom if we will begin to raise our expectation level? That God will use favor to open doors for you that man will not open for you. But God will open it for you. And favor will make sure that you're in the right place at the right time for the right result. Amen? So everybody reach up and just pull that favor mantle down on top of yourself. Amen? Now, let's look at one more scripture verse in chapter 41 of Genesis. Chapter 41 of Genesis. And this is the chapter where Joseph is called. He's actually already interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. And he is called to go before the king. Now, before I read this verse, let me say that another part of this mantle of this Joseph anointing is a mantle of persistence and perseverance. Persistence and perseverance. Because from the time Joseph received the dream to the time Joseph stepped into the dream, into the fulfillment of the dream, was 13 very long years. And yet God is faithful to fulfill what he said. Now, how many of you have a dream, have a promise, have a word of the Lord that you've been believing for? Just lift your hand up to me. Wave your hand at me. Just let me know. Okay, put your hands down. How many have been waiting for that promise for longer than a week? How many have been waiting for longer than a month? How many have been waiting longer than 3 months? How many have been waiting longer than a year? How many have been waiting longer than 3 years? How many have been waiting longer than 5 years? 5 years, give me 10, 10, give me 15, 15, give me 20. Come on, how many have been waiting a long, long time for this dream to come to pass? Does it mean God's not going to do it? No. It means that God has you in a process. Amen? Do not give up on the dream. My father-in-law has now been in ministry for 58 years. And he had prophecies fulfilled in his 50th year of ministry that were prophesied over him at his ordination. Now, how many are praying right now it's not going to take you 50 years? But how many are saying, Lord, I'm willing to stay in your process until I see every word that you've spoken come to pass? Joseph was in a very long 13-year process. But you know what? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this. It says, cast not away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence in God because it has great reward. For you have need of patience. And after that you have done the will of God, you can obtain the promise. Amen? What does that whole scripture mean? It means hang in there. It means don't quit. It means don't give up. I read a little verse one time that says, trying times are no time to quit trying. Come on. Very good. Some of you have fleeced the Lord. God, if I need it to happen by this time. If it doesn't happen by this time, I'm letting go of the dream. Don't do that.
Right. Come on.
God will give you the dream in His time, but I'm telling you, we're entering into that time of suddenlies.
Yeah.
You know what? If I can just get the church delivered from a someday mentality. You know what a someday mentality is? It goes like this. I believe God will fulfill that promise to me someday. Instead of realizing that Hebrews 11 says now faith is. Start pulling your future into your present. Now faith is. God, I believe you can set things in motion now that will cause me to see the fulfillment of my dream. But I'm telling you, there's been an enemy at work that I call a dream stealer. That's stealing your hope, stealing dreams, taking the edge off your expectation. I have a friend that's a pastor in Ohio. And he is one of these guys. We actually have so many channels in America, so many cable channels. We actually have a channel called the Surgery Channel, where you can actually watch like open heart surgeries and all this. I love it, actually. I know that that's kind of bloodthirsty and all that, but I just think it's cool, okay? And so does he. And so he had a cardiologist in his church that did open heart surgeries. And he said, do you think there's a way that you could arrange for me to come in and watch an open heart surgery? And the doctor said, yeah, I can make that happen. How many would like that? Like three of you, okay? But so the day came, he scrubbed up, got his gown on, got his funny little covers on his shoes, and got his hair net thing on. And they positioned him right in the surgery, and he was able to watch the whole thing. It was an open heart surgery. And it was on a woman, and the doctor did the whole surgery. And then the time came, you know what they do, is they disconnect the heart from the body, and they connect the body to a machine that basically runs the blood through. Some of you are going, oh, I'm getting queasy. Okay, I'll stop. But basically, there comes a point where after they've done the surgery on the heart, they have to reconnect the blood into the heart. And so the doctor had done that, and he took these little tiny paddles, and he shocked the heart. And the heart should, at that point, start beating. And it didn't. And so the doctor charged the paddles again. Shocked the heart. And it didn't beat. So the doctor started massaging the heart. And the pastor said that you could just literally feel the tension in the room rising. Because you know what? After all that surgery and all that work, if the heart doesn't start beating again, it's all for nothing. And he's massaging the heart. And then he said he saw the doctor do something very interesting. He leaned over and he whispered in the woman's ear. And he said, Mary, I need you to tell your heart to beat again. And when he spoke those words, thump, 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 thump. Some of you have been through some pretty tough times. And you come into worship, you sit under the teaching of the word, but you haven't given your heart permission to dream. You haven't given your heart permission to hope again. Because if you don't hope, then you won't ever get disappointed. And God is saying, give your heart permission to beat again. God is breaking the spirit of hopelessness off of many of you. God is breaking the spirit of the death to your dream off of you today. So that you can begin to dream big dreams. Just put your hand on your heart, literally, not just a physical heart, but your spiritual heart. God is breathing life into your spiritual heart. Father, we thank you for just releasing the power of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, right now, I give my heart permission, and I speak to my heart, and I say, beat again, live again, dream again. Dream bigger dreams. In Jesus' name. Just take a deep breath and just receive life into your dream life. Just receive hope that drives out every bit of hopelessness. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for expanding our dreams in this next season. In Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Why did I feel like that's important? Because listen, oftentimes it's darkest before the dawn. And if Joseph would have given up in the prison, he would have never gotten into the palace. And God has spent years positioning many of you for this season. But if you give up, everything you've been through will be for nothing. I'm going to wrap this up. Joseph went in and interpreted the dreams of the Pharaoh. He dreamed there would be seven fat cows and seven lean cows, seven fat ears of corn, seven lean ears of corn. And Joseph came and said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. And if you'll store up during the 7 years of abundance, then God will prepare you in the 7 years of famine to be able to be a nation that ministers to nations. And the Pharaoh said this. He said that he needed to find... He needed to be able to find somebody that could oversee this, that could watch over and undertake this massive, massive responsibility in the land. And look what Pharaoh said in verse 38, chapter 41. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a man as this, one in whom is the Spirit of God? I want to say to you today, there are pharaohs out there that are looking for you. There are pharaohs here in Horsham. There are pharaohs in the surrounding area, leaders of businesses, leaders of government, and they're in a point of crisis. And they're crying out saying, we need answers. They're saying, can we find somebody that has answers? And they're beginning to recognize we need somebody that's got the Spirit of God inside of them. Pharaoh is looking for you. And you know what? If Joseph was just naturally minded, he'd have said this. And the Pharaoh put him into that place, put a royal robe on him, mantled him with authority for this new day. I'm telling you, that's what's getting ready to happen to many, many, many of you here. God has brought you through hell to begin to bring you into this point where you can begin to bring the kingdom of heaven into the midst of the earth. If you'll receive it, if you'll start breaking those limitations off your mind, God's going to move you, position you, promote you, put you in places of influence. Some of you, he's going to take you out of jobs that you're just working a job and instead shift you into a place where you're fulfilling a position of influence. And if you're not careful, Joseph could have said, well, I've been a slave the last 13 years. And before that, I was a shepherd. I'm not qualified for this. But let me show you something. In those 13 years, what was Joseph going to need? He was going to need certain things to step into that position. All the time that he was in Potiphar's house, he was learning leadership and he was learning agriculture because Potiphar's home was an agricultural house. The whole time that he was in the prison system, he learned leadership and government. What was he going to need to step in to this role over a nation? He was going to need to have a knowledge of agriculture and a knowledge of government. And God had prepared him every step along the way to position him for the fulfillment of his destiny. And I'm telling you, you are coming into one of the greatest seasons of personal fulfillment, but I also believe of corporate fulfillment as God positions this church at the gate of this region and where people are going to come to you. People are going to come to your pastors and they're going to say, Pastor, I don't know why, but I'm at the bottom. I don't have understanding. I don't have answers. And something tells me you do. Hello. Amen. And not just your pastors, but all of you. And after that, God brought Joseph into a season of restoration. Because if you remember, at times of famine, God restored Joseph's brothers to him. And his father and his entire family. And I'm telling you, you are coming into a remarkable season of restoration. a remarkable season of restoration, especially in families. I had a vision a few months ago, and I want to share it with you, and then I want to pray for your congregation. I had a dream. I had a vision. I was in a time of worship getting ready to minister, and I had a vision of a very, very dark black cloud of locusts that came into picture and literally blotted out the brightness of the sun. And it was a pretty fearful sight. Now, we don't live in countries where we worry about locust invasions. But there are parts of the world that to see a cloud of locusts is one of the most fearful sights to see. Because locusts will eat everything in their path. They will strip every leaf off of every tree. They will eat every crop out of the field. If they get in your houses, they will eat your clothing. They will eat your food. They will eat your furniture. They will strip everything bare and leave nothing but devastation in their wake. And I saw this, and I was taken back by what I saw in the spirit. And then suddenly I saw the prayers of God's people going up. And when the prayers went up in one instant, everybody say suddenly, I saw the entire cloud of locusts drop dead to the ground. And I heard the voice of God say, tell my people that we have entered into the time of the death of the locusts. And I grabbed my Bible, and my Bible says in Joel chapter 2, the Lord said, I will restore to you all the years that the locusts have eaten, the chewing locusts, the crawling locusts, the swarming locusts, every kind of locust that's tried to eat from you, and you will eat in plenty and be satisfied, and my people shall never be put to shame. Come on, can we rejoice in the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and lift up our hands. I want to just say one, put your hands down for just a minute. I want to say, I'm going to pray for you. You're going to see family members. Just like Joseph's family was restored, there's going to be a season of family members, a season of prodigals literally just coming in. And I felt like the Lord said that this is going to be a year of transformation harvest for you. You've been crying out for revival, but there is such a harvest that is coming to you. And harvest will be souls. Harvest will be influence. Harvest will be increase. The harvest will be positioning. So many different things if you will begin to engage your faith and be specific with God. Now, when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian name. And his name was Zaphnath-Paneah. Let's all say that 10 times real fast, okay? Zaphnath-Paneah, which means this. It means God speaks and God lives. Everywhere you go, carry the Zaphnath-Paneah mantle on your life. Understand that you are there to make Jesus real out there. You are there to show people that God speaks and God lives. I was in a grocery store. I prophesied to a lady that was standing behind me in line because I was too impatient. I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And God said, just stop for just a second. Look for somebody to pray for. I did not want to pray for her. I just was like in the flesh, okay? And I just turned around and I looked at her. And I just began to pray for her under my breath. After just a couple seconds of just praying for her, I just turned around to her and I said, listen. I said, you know, I hate standing in long lines. She said, I do too. And I said, but while I was standing here, I just started praying for you. I hope that's okay. And she goes, yeah, that's okay. And I see her eyes shift to the other line, you know, like, can I get out of here? Hello. And I said, do you mind if I just tell you real quick what I felt like the Lord said? She's like, yeah, okay. And I just said, I just felt like he wanted you to know this, this, and this. Like, took me less than 10 seconds. Listen, if you're going to minister to somebody out there, don't put your hand on their head. Don't start shaking them back and forth. Don't start speaking in tongues at the top of your voice. Just talk normal. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, don't be weird. Okay, thank you. Okay? And don't prophesy a long time, all right? I just real quickly gave her just three little points that the Lord had said, and big tears started rolling down her face. She leaned forward and she said, who are you? And I said, I'm just a believer that believes that God still speaks today. When you're out there, listen to God and make him real everywhere you go. Show the world that God speaks and that God lives. And God will bring you into a mighty new season. Lift up your hands. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word over this house. We thank you for a season of favor. We thank you for a season of restoration. We thank you, Father God, for phenomenal harvest and awakening that you are bringing in this region. And Father, I bless these pastors right now. And I thank you, Lord, Father, that they are at the point of the spear. Father, they've been meeting with a lot of resistance, but it's because, Lord, they are breaking through to a whole new place and a whole new region. And Father God, that even as they step in, Father, to this Joseph mantle, Lord, you've been having them restructure some things. You've been having them reorganize some things. You've been having them make plans for the future, not just survive the present. Father, you have been getting them ready for all the things that you're positioning them for. Father, you're opening up governmental influence. You're opening up business influence. You're opening up influence, Father God, to the up and outers as well as the down and outers. You're opening up influence, Father God, into the highest places in the land of influence, and you're opening up doors of influence into those that are downcast and downtrodden and that society has treated like throwaways. And the Lord says, because you've been willing to reach out to those that have nothing to give you, the Lord says, I'm going to open doors to those who have everything to give you, says the Lord. And I am going to begin to bring you into a brand new season of harvest and of revival and of awakening. And the Lord says, I am breathing by the wind of my Holy Spirit, and you're going to find that there is going to come a greater ease in what you do, and you are going to accomplish more with less effort, says the Lord, because I'm bringing you into a new season of grace, of mercy, and favor with this Joseph storehouse anointing over your life and over your house, declares the Spirit of the living God. Father, we bless you for that, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.